Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgi Jorgensen. And our guest today is John Cameron from the Cameron Law Firm. Thanks for being with us today, John.
Thanks, Tom.
Good morning,
Sam.
We've got an exciting topic today, Sam. We're going to talk about business litigation.
Dun, dun.
John, that just sounds scary just saying it.
Oh, don't say that, Tom. I mean, I like to tell clients it's the most civilized dispute resolution process that man's ever invented.
How many years have you been an attorney, John?
I mean, people used to go to war over there, or they still do, but they used to have duels and other types of things, and now we just we go down to the court and talk to a judge about it and try to get an impartial decision.
We still go to war, Sam. We just have attorneys instead of guns.
Right.
So business litigation. There's a lot of business owners out there in tough times these days that are performing and doing things. And when times get tough, sometimes people get into arguments and they don't perform. I know that there are situations where businesses get out there and they maybe sign a big contract and lay in some inventory and produce their products and start shipping it, and they get some timely payments, and then along the way maybe they get 50 or 60% of what they were supposed to, and the other side for some reason can't sell the product, and now they're claiming you didn't produce it right, you didn't do this, didn't do that. Now the business owner's got a big bellyache. Where does he start, John?
Well, I mean, it's not a unique scenario today that, you know, we see with our clients, that they have some situation, whether it's with a client, whether it's with a partner, whether it's with a lender, where the, you know, one party is no longer in a position to perform. Maybe they're on the side that can't perform. Maybe they're on the side that has somebody that isn't performing as they promised. So, you know, the scenario you're talking about with a client who's maybe produced a product and shipped it and is waiting to get paid, you know, it's always a situation where we find that there's, you know, before we get called, there's usually some discussion and conflict between the collections department and the sales department.
Mm-hmm.
The collections department is always trying to keep everybody at 30 days or less, and the sales department, they get paid on commission, so they're like, oh, don't be too hard on them, let's work with them. But ultimately, and then, of course, the decision maker, whether it's a manager or an owner, is saying, well, I don't know what, you know, right decision here. Here's a client that's been good to me all these years. They're having some trouble. What kind of terms do we extend to them? And, you know, do they start, what type of leash do they give them? You know, my advice in that situation is to, you know, if you are going to give them some terms or something else, make sure that you're, you know, you're making some documentation of what these new terms are going to be, so that if it does get too far, and that's what we're going to talk about, that you've got a good history on what the deal was.
Build a good file on the conflict and document everything along the way.
Right. We see some entrepreneurial type clients who feel as though they've really documented things and there was really a great understanding of what they wanted to accomplish. But when you piece it together for them, it's, you know, it doesn't mean they didn't have a deal. It's just that it's, you know, the better you document it, the better evidence you have of what the deal really was. You know, but ultimately when they get to us, they're saying, okay, here's the scenario we're in. What's the options we have? How do we bring this to a head? How do we get their attention? And it may be as simple as saying, you know, I want to sue these guys because they're not talking to me. Let's get them to the table and let's start talking. Or it may be that, you know, they want the full-out press and say, you know, I want a judgment against them. I want you to try and collect it as much as you can. And tell us what those two roads look like.
John, attorneys are highly specialized today, more so than they were when my career started the last century, as Sam would say. But how does you get a conflict and you've got a problem and you know you need to hire a lawyer? If it's going to lead to business litigation, how do you find the right attorney that has the appropriate skills and can handle a business problem?
Well, you want to have. I think that you need to find somebody that you really gel with, somebody that you feel is, you know, can understand and what your ultimate goal is. And we'll listen to, you know, kind of what your situation is, listen to where you want to get to, and what resources you have to get there. You know, many times we see a situation, we've had a number of clients come to us recently who said that, you know, we just went, and they have multiple situations like this, said, you know, we've gone through a very similar situation, and we got to this point, and here's the result we've got. Had we known that was, you know, where we might end up, we would have never spent as much. I mean, they still would have enforced it, but they would have tried to apply it in a different, you know, try to get to where they were in a different
way. Give me an example. I'm having...
Well, you know, you might have a situation where someone's trying to enforce an obligation to pay, mm-hmm. and in that process, there's a number of ways that you could have pursued it and gone after certain security, whether it's real estate or guarantees or something else like that, and you have to make decisions down the road of, you know, are you going to go after the collateral? Are you going to go after the borrower? Are you going to go after the guarantors? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And there's also, so there's a situation where, from a strategy point of view, you can do the all-out press and do everything perfectly as a lawyer and ultimately end up with a judgment that is uncollectible. Or,
mm-hmm.
Or you maybe, as part of it, are getting the collateral back or you're getting something. And you could have done it in a slightly different way and been more cost-effective for the client. Obviously, when a client makes these decisions, they maybe don't know what the party on the other side, what their financial situation is, or maybe they do. So I would say when you're trying to find somebody who does business litigation, find somebody that you feel that you are comfortable with, and, you know, find someone that you feel can really tell your story and execute on the plan that you've both agreed to.
Okay, so once you've found an attorney that has some expertise and experience as a litigator and some business problems and the ability to help you collect whatever it is you're trying to collect, then you sit down and you have to take a look at the facts of the case. What happened and how did it happen? And then it sounds to me like one of the first things you want to do is try to get a feel for what are our possibilities of collecting this from the client, or are they going bankrupt? How much money do we want to spend going after them? How much time do we want to spend going after them? How do you get your arms around that, John?
Right. I think that what typically will happen is that you've got a situation where you need to really identify ultimately what your goal is. You know, we've talked about collecting from maybe a client. Well, what if there's a partner issue where, you know, we're seeing it now where there's cash calls and you have to go to your partnership agreement and try to get those types of things enforced. You know, how do you do it amongst your, or that maybe there's some shortfall on some deal that was put together and you need to figure out how to bring everyone to the table. Or maybe there's even a more fundamental dispute between partners. So you need to look at that whole scenario and ultimately, you know, the goal might be to collect some money, or the goal may be to kind of reorganize a current situation to make it more manageable and remove a level of dysfunction. So when applying these, you know, kind of where do you want to go, what's your strategy, then you need to figure out kind of what are the steps that are going to be involved in that. You know, and it may be as most situations would start out with, you know, the question is, if you know what a situation is escalating and it's going to get to an impasse, that one of the parties is going to sue the other one. And you might ask yourself, would I rather be a plaintiff or would I rather be a defendant? And
good question.
So, you know, that doesn't mean that if you're a defendant, you can't assert defenses and bring your own claims, but, you know, some people would prefer to be the one bringing the action than defending against the action. So it's a level of timing and getting to your trusted advisor early on and finding out, you know, okay, here's the situation. How can I bring this to a head? And then that would be culmination of bringing a lawsuit in asserting your claims.
So early on, when you're assessing the facts of a deal and deciding whether or not you want to initiate any action, aren't you really practicing the art of the possible? What is it possible to obtain? If you're going to go after a client and they're bankrupt and you know you're not going to get the money, why would you initiate the action? Mm-hmm. If you're going after a partner for a capital call and you know he doesn't have the money, I mean, you have to find another solution. On the other hand, if you've got a client, they're making money, they're doing well, they just haven't paid you because they don't want to, or if you've got a partner that's not participating because of some other reason but has the wherewithal to participate, that has to enter into the conversation early, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, you need to assess not only the strength of the claim. You know, there's two questions. You know, anybody, you know, anyone can be sued for anything, but can you collect? I mean, that's the next issue. But you know, that really goes to that collection issue. But there may be other issues that, you know, maybe you have a partner situation where you need to restructure things, and maybe the relief isn't all financial. But you need to put all these things in perspective and lay out a course of action that gets you to where you want to go ultimately with some, you know, you're talking about the world of the possible, you know, and then you can maybe prioritize what those possibilities are.
So you have to have some confidence that you can get to where you want to go before you decide to take some action.
Right, or try to have, you know, at least a end destination in mind of where you're ultimately trying to get to. And then you can evaluate, okay, once we know where that's the, you know, client comes in and says, here's my ultimate goal to get here. And then after discussing it, might say, well, here's two or three other options we could potentially get to as well, including losing, you know, ultimately, you know, you could get an adverse decision as well. But then you need to lay out a course of action and tell the client, here's where we're going to be. And I tell people that, you know, when LA Law Syndrome is that, you know, someone, you know, they come into on TV shows and they meet with their attorney, and on Friday they're in, you know, before the judge. Well, my world doesn't work like that.
Not quite that
really?
Fast, is it?
A little bit. You know, it takes a little bit longer. Although I will say in Minnesota, they've done a good job of trying to manage calendars on a relatively orderly fashion to turn cases over in a specific period of time. But even with that effort, it does. Everything takes time. There's, you know, once the lawsuit goes out, there's a certain amount of time to wait for an answer to come in. Then there'll be a certain amount of time to do discovery, which is depositions, document requests, written questions, maybe adverse exams or experts. And then ultimately there's a period of time where we do motions, all on this process to try to get to a date where you could have a trial. And that's why, you know, over 90%, I mean, it might even be as high as 95% of actions that are filed are ultimately resolved without the need of a trial.
Okay, now we've got an issue. We've got the facts. We've decided there's an opportunity to win. The money is there to resolve the question. What is our venue? What are our choices? Where do we go with this if we decide to initiate action?
Well, the first thing you would look at is, was there an underlying agreement where the parties agreed to potentially go to a third party first or exclusively through
third,
either?
Third party, John, what's that?
Well, you might have a mediator involved. Or you might have agreed to submit your dispute to an arbitrator, which is outside the court. So, you know, if there's some written agreement or between the parties that says that's how they're going to do it, that's where you'd go for, you know, that's where you'd go to resolve your dispute.
How do those work, John?
Well, you know, the mediation is really something that is used both as a private agreement that might have been executed when the deal was put together, or it might even be agreed to before you go to commence a lawsuit, or even after a lawsuit's commenced. And really what you're doing is you're inviting someone who's knowledgeable about the law or your business to come in and work with the parties to basically do shuttle communication back and forth to say, okay, how do we get you guys to a point where you don't have to go and spend more money on your attorneys and costs and experts and try and get this resolved today. So they're a disinterested, independent third party that comes in that might be involved in your case for a morning, for a day, or for a couple days, but after that, they're ultimately out of the situation. And the great thing about mediation is that there's it offers the... I always tell clients that, you know, one of the things about litigation is as we're preparing the complaint, the other side's not thinking about the case. Then we serve it on them, and then they have a time to respond. So then they're working on the case and while we're waiting for them. So there's always this kind of ping pong effect of people's concentration on what's going on. One party will serve something that the other side needs to respond to. So when you go to mediation, that's a day when everyone is thinking about the case at the same time and both sides and has their focus on it. So it's really a great opportunity to air all the issues, to get this third party's independent input about what's possible in the world of getting it done.
So at that hearing, both sides get an opportunity to verbally present their side of the case?
Well, typically, this wouldn't be a hearing. You'd typically go to, maybe this is a retired judge or an attorney who's practicing law, and you would typically, you might meet all together for a very short period of time. A lot of times, the parties don't even meet. They go to an office. They each sit in a separate conference room, and then the mediator will meet with one group, hear their story, hear them out, go to the other party, hear them out, and then start talking.
They're ping-ponging between the rooms.
Right.
Shuttle diplomacy.
Right.
Yeah. Now, is this binding or non-binding or both?
It's non-binding, and typically the agreement and the rules of mediation in Minnesota is that, we do have a rule of evidence that say settlement proposals are non-admissible later. So that's independent of mediation anyway, to foster settlement discussions.
So if you enter into some negotiations during the mediation and it fails, they can't bring the court and say, you said you'd settle for this.
Right. Okay. And in addition to that, they also agree that the mediator won't be called as a witness to say that, at the mediation someone made some disclosure. Because we want to create an environment where people feel comfortable to talk about all the issues, where we're not going to hold something back, so that hopefully that if all the issues are aired and responded to and addressed, that we can move this thing forward.
And try to get it settled short of a lawsuit.
Right.
Well, what's the difference between mediation and arbitration?
Now, arbitration, you can have, in that situation, is more like you were talking about a hearing, where the sides go each get to present their case, and the other sides have the right to cross-examine the witnesses and evidence that and challenge the evidence that's presented before the arbitrator. And you'll see situations where you may have one arbitrator or a panel of arbitrators, and that the decision may be binding, or it may be non-binding. So if it's non-binding, there would typically be some appeal process to maybe a district court or something like that where you could bring the case again.
Is that all agreed to beforehand?
Absolutely. And it might have been in an agreement that you signed when you first put the deal together before there was ever a problem. Or you might even agree to do it after the problem arose, saying, hey, why don't we send this to a third party that'll give us a binding decision?
In an effort to resolve it short of litigation, short of the courthouse.
Okay. Yes.
So then if that fails, if the mediation fails or the arbitration doesn't fail, then what are your choices? Where do you go from there?
Well, ultimately, we have a very well-developed state and federal court system. And submit your claim to, one of those jurisdictions, and you would commence it by serving a summons and complaint. The other party would submit an answer and maybe possible counterclaims if they felt they had claims in the dispute. And then the court would set up a schedule where certain things had to be done, ultimately leading to a potential trial date.
So these would be on larger claims, not the type of thing you'd take to conciliation court?
Yeah, I mean, in Hennepin County, I think the conciliation court level is $7,500. So you're talking about claims in excess of that. Theoretically, you could bring something in the small claims court range, but the economics of that make it difficult.
Okay, so now we've determined we have to move forward. The attorney has made a determination whether we go to state or federal court, the best venue. What's the next step? How do you proceed then?
You've suited out, you filed it with the court. Typically, what you're going to do now is have an opportunity to gather all the facts from not only your client, but from the other side. And you'll basically serve written questions, which are called interrogatories, and you'll request documents with a document request. And under the rules, they have a certain time period to provide. The party that request is served upon has a certain time period to respond to that.
So this is the discovery process where both sides try to figure out what the other side has to say and what the questions are and what the answers are and those type of things.
Right. And you typically, following the exchange of documents and written questions, you might schedule a deposition of all the key players in the action so that you can record get sworn testimony as to what their version of the story is. And the system is really set up to kind of filter out cases, you know, because once you have the stories from all the witnesses and all the documents, the attorneys are pretty good at putting that story together and presenting it to the court. And typically what you would see at that point is that the parties would submit their claim on what's called a summary judgment motion and have the judge look at to say, okay, if we assume certain facts are true, these are undisputed facts, and even if you assume the facts of the other side the way they say they are, now we disagree with that, but even if you assume that true, they still don't have a claim to go forward, or they failed to meet a certain burden. And then the judge can look at that and either dismiss the claims or dismiss some of the claims. So there's kind of this filtering process where we're focusing the case, constantly focusing it prior to going to trial.
Let's back up for just a second, that the deposition. For our listeners that haven't had the privilege of being a party to a deposition, let's say you're representing a business owner and there's the party on the other side, you want to get him in, you want to ask him some questions, that's when you file the paperwork to depose him, correct?
Sure. We just do, in that case, if they're represented, we would just give their attorney the notice of deposition. If they're not a party, then we would go through some, if they wouldn't voluntarily appear, we would do some type of subpoena.
And then you hire a court reporter and bring in that party, and it's your opportunity to ask him whatever questions you think are pertinent to the claim.
That's right. And, you know, and we're really, it's kind of interesting, you know, I think that most witnesses think that there's some sinister plan that the attorney has, and really they're just trying to figure out, you know, it's the first time they've had an opportunity to meet that witness. I think it's a good time for the witness to, you know, tell their version of what happened. And then, you know, the attorney's not only trying to get the facts, but to find out, is this a credible person? You know, do they have an axe to grind? But I think the perception is that somehow the attorney's trying to trick them up or do something. And in reality,
too much TV.
They're really just trying to find out, you know, what happened?
We hope so, but this is attorney stuff, John, so it's probably not as fun for the person being deposed as it is for you asking the questions.
That's probably true.
Well, let's get back to the process now. Both sides have deposed. Both sides have done their discovery. Now you're ready to get to court. You have to wait for a trial date.
Sure, and as we talked, even before the trial date, we might go before the court and ask the court to rule on certain legal issues to kind of narrow the case. And if the parties can't work together and come to an agreement about what is discoverable, what evidence do each side need to produce, we may go to the court and ask them to rule on what the party's obligation is to comply with certain requests. But ultimately, if we're not able to, resolve it at the summary judgment level, get some decision from the court, then we would ultimately go to trial and put all the witnesses on the stand and get them all in there and let them tell their version.
Put on the show.
Right. It's tough to get people to, you know, you have to subpoena them. A lot of people don't. Especially independent witnesses don't care to have their lives disrupted to go sit and wait to have to appear at a trial.
Now, all throughout this process that can take months, sometimes years, you have the opportunity for both sides to talk and still try to resolve it, short of you can always dismiss the case if you do get it resolved, correct?
Correct. And earlier we had talked about arbitration and mediation. In Minnesota, the courts will require the parties to participate in what they call alternative dispute resolution. So once the case is commenced, typically they'll ask the parties to either they'll instruct the parties to identify a mediator or an arbitrator to come in and help them resolve the case before they can come to court. And that's why so many cases get resolved, this whole kind of without the need of a trial.
So once you're in the trial, though, you can't say, stop, I really want to resolve this, I want to make a deal.
Oh, you'll see situations where, you know, the night before things get settled, you'll see they'll call the first witness, take a break, and things will get settled.
Okay, so any time during the process.
Well, and you could see that, you know, all the way through that, all the way up to trial, through trial, and ultimately, you know, you get a decision, and then you need to figure out, you know, maybe you got a big award, now you figure out how to collect it. So now there may be another opportunity to talk about structuring the settlement or discounting it or whatever, you know, or ultimately just enforcing the judgment.
So now you got through trial, you got a judgment, or you've got a decision. The other side has the opportunity to appeal, and you have to try to figure out how do you collect the money.
Right. I mean, the process can get dragged out with an appeal, but ultimately they have to have some basis for the appeal. So you need to, rely on your trusted advisor to say, is that really something that's going to delay you significantly, or is it something they're just using to try and maybe negotiate a better settlement?
John, I'm curious. This sounds like it could be a long, drawn-out affair. What's the quickest and what's the longest that's taken you on a business litigation item? How fast could it happen, or how long might it take?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it depends on how the claim arose. I mean, the hardest ones tend to be the ones that are personal, where it might be partners who are having some dispute. It's a form of a divorce, and when the partners have those personal issues, it can get dragged on for some time. You know, if the court is managing their calendar the way they like to do it, they have a goal of trying to resolve in Hennepin County, cases, within a year of when they're filed. Do they always get that done? Not always, but things do move along pretty quick once they get going. In the old days, there used to be some, calendars that would just get dragged out for a couple of years. And, we were involved in some cases that dragged on and went up on appeal and have come back. And then you go back to the judge you have to get another, go back and get something clarified. So you can kind of ping pong up and down, but, hopefully that's the exception, not the rule.
So what advice in general would you give a business owner on when he's got a problem and he's considering business litigation? I mean, this could put a lot of stress on the business, a lot of stress on a business owner, a big distraction from the business, so he's not out there selling, as you say, and not producing his product or service. What kind of advice do you give him when you get into this situation and start out?
Well, I think that when you're with your trusted advisor, you need to ask them, okay, what are the possible options? What's involved for getting to each one of those? And can you give me an example of something you've done previously, and what did that cost that client? To try and put these things in perspective. I mean, I think if early in my practice, I did a lot of employment law litigation, and I know that some of the cases where they'd hire experts. Would amaze me the amount that they would spend on the experts and the defense of these. When at that time I represented a few plaintiffs, and in relation to the size of what the claim potentially was.
So let's say it's a $50,000 claim or $100,000,
and which potentially could be settled for less, and spent well beyond that amount, and experts and legal fees and.
That's an expensive process.
You really need to do a cost-benefit analysis at the beginning. Say, what are we going after, and how much are we going to spend to get it, and what's possible?
And not always easy to manage that, because we're all human, and we all, when we're involved in the transaction that didn't go the way we thought, it's easy to take it personally and to put those, I've had clients and I've been aware of situations where clients have, been angry and have wanted to take a very aggressive approach. And over time, a year or 2 years later, they're not as angry, but now they're wondering why they...
Where'd all that time and money go?
Right.
John, this has been an enlightening discussion of how business owners might resolve conflicts of one kind or another. And we're out of time for today. So I'm Tom Lyons. For my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jordan Jorgensen, I'd like to thank John Cameron from the Cameron Law Offices for being with us today to discuss business litigation on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.